We haven't met. If we haven't met, my name is Wayne. On the count of three, would you tell me your name? One, two, three. It's great to meet you too. God bless you. All right. Today we are continuing a series we started a couple weeks ago called Boundaries. And we're addressing this theme verse concerning boundaries, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. The New Living Translation says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. So when we obey God's law, God's boundaries, the result is joy. When we don't, there's difficulty. How many know boundaries are God's idea because we're made in the image of God? And God provides boundaries to protect us, to provide for us, freedom, all sorts of good things. And no boundaries is Satan's idea. Satan wants us to move or remove God's boundaries because his heart for us is to steal and to kill and to destroy. So the big idea for these few weeks that we're discussing this is in this one simple sentence. God provides boundaries for us in both his commandments and our convictions to provide for us and to protect us. So boundaries are a good idea. Boundaries are a blessing. They're from the Lord to provide for us and to protect us. Now, last Sunday, we addressed sexual boundaries. And we had a lot of fun doing that, didn't we? You're still nervously laughing about that, all right? So today we're going to address marriage boundaries. Now, I was originally going to talk about kid boundaries today, but then when I realized we're dedicating babies next Sunday, perhaps I should put that message on the day we're dedicating babies, and that's so cute and just seemed right. And so we bumped up marriage to today. So we're going to be talking about social media boundaries in a few weeks, and so it's going to be a lot of fun to continue to talk about this. And since we're going to address marriage here today, I found some things that hopefully kind of set the stage for us when we talk about marriage. I like this one I found. My wife called on her way home after a long day at work and asked me to run her some hot water and not forget the bubbles. Hope she'll be happy. She's so sweet. Love her to bits. And hopefully you can see this. That's a sink full of hot water and bubbles. Perhaps not what she had in mind. All right, let's keep going. What wives say, go to the store, lay down the mulch, wash and wax the car, get the kids at school, rent some videos, and finish the rest of the dishes. What husbands hear, go lay down and get some rest. I agree with that. All right, here's the next one. The pastor says to the couple getting married, you're supposed to say, I do, not I'll try. Okay, this is my favorite one. I hope you can see this. His wife's laying down on the porch steps here. He says, come on, you got to have one more hot flash in you. That third step is still icy. Can I get a witness in that? Never mind. All right, let's keep going. All right, so this is a contest to see which bathroom door is the ladies and which is the guys. Blah, 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 or blah. Not sure. Actually, I'm very sure. All right, here's the last one. Guy says, hey, honey, what's the password? He's on his laptop there. She says, our anniversary date. It's much later. She did this on purpose. All right. Now, since we are talking about marriage today, I've got a very special treat for everybody. I've asked my wife, Tracy, to help me tag team this message. Would you welcome Tracy Murray to the platform? She's going to come and help me do this. All right. Right. So this is our first time doing this, and I know you're very excited about it.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, that's good. And I appreciate you stepping out of your comfort zone because I know this is not what you do a lot. So thank you so much for being willing to do it. And I think everybody's going to be blessed to hear from a woman's perspective.
Yeah, because some of those memes were a little on the, they weren't mean, but I might.
Are you saying they were skewed toward guys?
Yes.
Are you saying
yes.
I chose those?
Yes.
You're right, I did. All right.
I could tell they needed me.
Yeah, okay. Now, we realize that not everybody in this room is married, and so we just want to take a moment and just address that for a second.
Right. So we do know that everyone in the room is not married, and we want to thank you for your heart and for allowing us to be able to speak on this topic. If you're single today, hopefully you can listen through the ears of a family member or even for your future, because statistics show that 9 out of 10 people do get married. So we want to thank you for the grace you're showing today to listen to a sermon on marriage. But our culture today can make it very difficult for marriages.
Right.
And so today we'd like to share some principles that we applied early on. And some of you can maybe, you've already done these things, you're doing these things, or others, there might be some things you hear today that you want to start to apply.
Right. And so what we want to do is encourage everybody, whatever boundaries you have, or even if you don't, start now putting boundaries into your marriage so that it will help you. And, you know, you and I have been married 25 years.
Yes, 25 years.
Yeah.
So some of you may not know that we met when we were 12 in church.
In church.
So we went to youth group together, but we didn't get together until college. So.
Did we tell that story today?
No.
Okay.
But I was going to just say as a... Oh, I didn't mean that.
I have a version. She has a version.
Yes, and I could finally defend myself.
Yes.
So maybe we should tell it. No.
Okay.
But anyhow, I was just going to say, if you're single today, you might want to look to your left and to your right.
You never know.
You never know what will happen.
There's all kinds of good reasons to go to church is what
That's
we're saying.
That's one of them.
All right. Now, I think for us, one of the things that we can encourage everybody with, especially if you're not married, is that because we had boundaries growing up, we were both raised in church. We both had godly families. And so we had boundaries when it came to dating and those types of things. And I think boundaries actually brought us together. And so part of the reason we're here is because the boundaries in our lives. So for those of you that are not married yet and want to be, having boundaries can actually direct you to the right person. And so we encourage you to put godly boundaries into your life. Now, why do we need boundaries in our marriage? Well, because every 13 seconds in America, somebody gets a divorce. Our culture is making it very difficult on married people. And of course, there's lots of issues that people are dealing with. But today, Tracy and I just want to encourage everybody, and we want to make the case for everybody to set up godly boundaries in your marriage. And remember, boundaries are both commandments and convictions. And if we do that, it will not only protect your marriage, but it'll actually provide some really good things for your relationship. And so talk about that for a second.
So when we get married, we make vows. And so for me...
To have and to hold. Hi, Tracy.
Now listen, in the 9 o'clock, you didn't ad-lib like this.
I told you.
He is throwing me off.
They're more spiritual in the 11, aren't you? That's what I thought.
Okay. So when you're, sometimes, I'm assuming you're like me. If you're like me, you dream of the day you get to say, I do. Because that's exciting. I do. Do you do this? Will you do, or do you blah, blah, blah. And so on our wedding rehearsal night.
Right.
Our pastor, who had been our pastor forever, he told us that we were going to say, I will. And I said, well, but when do we get to say, I do? And he goes, you don't. Because I'm not going to say, do you, blah, 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 do you, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to say, will you? And you're going to say, I will. Because you're going to choose that you're going to will to do these things every day. And so he also said, when I tie the knot, I tie it real good. So we said, I will, as our wedding vows.
Right. And we still do. We still will.
We will.
Will.
I will.
I do. Okay. I will. All right. Good. So how do you keep the vows, these commitments that you made to each other? One of the ways you keep vows is by setting boundaries in your life. Now, remember, boundaries are both commandments and convictions. So let's first of all look at what the Bible has to say about marriage. There's a few things Scripture has to say, commandments regarding marriage. And go ahead and read those, Trace.
Ephesians 5:25 says, for husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Mark 10:9 says, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And Hebrews 13:4, Marriage is honorable in every way, so husbands and wives should be faithful to each other.
So the scriptures command us to love each other. They command us to honor each other in marriage, and they command, and scripture commands us to be faithful. How many know those aren't optional? Those are the commands of the Lord. And so we need to follow those commands. Now, here's another verse from Proverbs that I think applies to a lot of different areas of our lives, but we can definitely apply it to marriage. Proverbs 27:12 says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." Now, some of us, that could be our life verse, right? The prudent recognize danger and they set up boundaries to keep them out of danger. And for us, we understand that our culture is dangerous to marriage right now. And so the prudent people put boundaries or guards or protection around them. And the Bible says, you know, it's dumb to not have boundaries in your life because of that. And so if we're going to keep God's commandments concerning marriage, we need to have some convictions on how we're going to keep the commandments. And remember that convictions are not necessarily commands in the Bible. They're matters of conscience where the Holy Spirit speaks to us about how to keep the commandments of God. And so these convictions that Tracy and I are going to talk to you about in several different areas of marriage, you're not going to find these convictions in the Bible. These are our convictions we feel like given by the Holy Spirit that help us keep the commandments of God. And you may not agree with our convictions, and that's okay, but we do want to encourage everybody to have some convictions about how you're going to keep these commandments in your life. And again, the goal for today and really this entire series, we just want to be very, very practical, very, very helpful when it comes to these different topics. So let's jump right in. There's a lot of areas of marriage that need some boundaries. And so last week we talked about sexual boundaries. If you missed that, highly encourage you to watch that online. And we talked about how when it comes to marriage, we had a list for married people, we had a list for single people. Well, for married people, it means that we don't ride alone with members of the opposite sex. We don't eat alone with members of the opposite sex. We don't confide in or counsel with members of the opposite sex. And I know Tracy's favorite part was I said, listen to your spouse.
Yes, and I said, amen.
You did?
Yes.
That's good. Great. And then be accountable in this area of sexual boundaries.
So you can't be too careful when it comes to this area. As pastors, we've seen a lot, and we've seen a lot of people who've been wounded in this area. And it's just too easy for something that seems innocent, something even like simple text messaging back and forth with the opposite sex, then they're not your spouse. And the devastation that it can bring, and no one sees it coming. So you just have to draw lines because...
Clear lines.
Clear lines.
Right. Because the culture is so dangerous. Right. It really is. All right. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. We did that last week. Let's talk about another area where we need boundaries, and that's in the area of work, between work and home, right? And so like any other couple, you and I have always had to work on and deal with how do you balance being at work and how do you balance being at home. And so over the years, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever received is this: work when you're at work and be home when you're at home. Work when you're at work and be home when you're at home, because some of us make the mistake, and I've made this mistake too. We take our work home with us, and the problem is we're present physically, but we're not present there for our family. And so I've just decided that it means that I need to work well when I'm at work so that when I'm at home, I can be at home. And I've decided that if somebody's going to be disappointed, it's not going to be my family. I have the type of job, and I know a lot of you guys do too, where the list is never done. The work is never done. And so I just got to pick a time and say, okay, I'm going to go home now and leave it for the next day. And that's been very helpful for us. And so when I go home, I just got to make sure that I'm not giving my best to work and then giving my family the leftovers. Because really, I'm starting my second shift, so to speak. You know, I got to engage and, you know, with kids and family and all that stuff.
And I think with a lot of men, it's unreasonable for women to think that they don't have work to do when they come home.
Because I do that sometimes.
You do have work.
Right.
You do have work. But then when he puts it down, he's not checked out on the couch with the remote and like, I'm done until we go to bed. You know, he's there, he's involved.
And, Be present.
And especially it's important when your kids are little, because those moms, they don't ever clock out. It's continual. And so dads, when you come home, it's like you're the hero and you can walk through that door and you can be their hero and just keep it going because you're not off duty.
Is there a song that can go with that? Did you ever know that you... No? I could do this all day.
No.
All right. Now, one more thing when it comes to work and home, just really want to encourage everybody, be accountable about work, especially if you're going to work late, if you're going to, you know, if you got something going on. So send a text, make a phone call. You know, when it comes to being accountable, this is a principle that applies to every area of marriage. Your wife should never have to guess where you're at or what's going on. And the thing that's important about being accountable is voluntarily giving information. Accountability only works if it's given, not taken.
Right. And accountability is not a burden if it's something you freely give. But it's if it's something that somebody's demanding from you, oh, it's so hard to give it up. So
right.
If you just, you choose to give it
right.
rather than it be taken from you. And so when you can do that, it can bring a very beautiful peace in your marriage when there's just a mutual accountability. And sometimes it can be a tug of war, especially in the beginning years. It can be a tug of war who's in control. And it just doesn't have to be about that. Men, you need to know that women, we need information. And it's not really our fault. God wired us to need information.
There's even scientific proof for that.
Yeah, we really need information. And then when we receive the information, it brings security to us, and we feel safe.
Right.
So, anyhow,
so give it.
Yeah, give it instead of asked for.
Somebody having to demand it. And it goes both ways with men and women. So just count on voluntarily offering that information. That's how it works. That's how you avoid the tug of war,
right?
And that's how you have peace in your house. So never have to guess what's going on, where they're at, all that. Be accountable. Now, we know there's always, you know, in different seasons of life, there's going to be, you know, ebbs and flows of all of this. There's always going to be some tension between work and home, and you may not be able to do it the way we do it, but I just want to encourage everybody, you've got to set up some boundaries between work and marriage, right? Okay, let's talk about kid boundaries, boundaries with your kids. We have two kids, two boys, 16 and 20. One of the things that I think it's important for every family to know, you want to have a marriage-centered family, not a kid-centered family. And how many know there's a difference? You want to have a marriage-centered family, not a kid-centered family. Matter of fact, if you're here and you're married but you don't have kids, can I go ahead and tell you, you're already a family. Kids are a welcome addition, but you're already a family when you're married, and that's important to remember. When kids are in charge at your house, that's just not good. It's not going to work out well because, I mean, we know that kids are needy, especially when they're young. They require lots of time and lots of attention. That's why Mother's Day comes before Father's Day and hi, Mom, and all that kind of stuff. So we get that, you know, in the different seasons of life. They're going to require even more time and attention. But you just never want to get to the point where the kids are more important than the spouse. Now, one of the reasons you don't want to have a child-centered family is because there will be a day, and it comes faster than you think, when your kids will be gone, and it will be back to just the two of us.
Yes.
Right.
So a year and a half ago, we took our oldest son to college, to Purdue.
You can go ahead and say it. He went to Purdue.
He went to Purdue. So, and then IU played last night, and he was actually rooting for them. And I said
we can root for both.
We're not IU fans now. We're Purdue. And he said, okay.
Braden doesn't think so, but...
Anyhow.
Now who's ad libbing?
Now I'm off track.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right. Well,
an emotional day.
It was an emotional day.
And when we came back home and we're adjusting to life.
Life without Braden.
It was quieter at home. And so our youngest began to tease us. Like, what are you going to do when I'm gone?
When I'm gone.
Like, he was expecting.
And I said, I've got a few ideas.
Oh, you did not. Stay the rest of this sermon. Am now, I red? I don't know.
Let's switch back. Let's switch back. All right. I'll save you since I did this. There's a phenomenon taking place right now in our culture that sociologists are calling the gray divorce. I don't know if you know this, but almost in every age group in America, the divorce rate's going down, except for people over 50. In the last 10 years, divorces for people over 50 has doubled. And I think that might be a reflection of what we're talking about. I think there's such a focus on kid-centered families that when the kids are gone, there's nothing left after the empty nest. And so we just want to encourage everybody now. You know, we're not saying exclude your kids, you know, lock them in the backyard until they're 18 or nothing like that. We're just saying don't make them the center of your family. Keep your marriage the center of your relationship. And I think this is especially important for blended families. And we understand blended families, it's just a different challenge. But the best advice we want to give to blended families is keep your marriage at the center. You know, and because there's always this temptation to cover your kids, you know, his and hers and ours and those types of things. But if you actually, if you prioritize your marriage, it'll actually be better for those kids in that relationship. Now, we're not saying that this is a matter of sin. We're saying this is a matter of conviction. Because we believe that the best thing you can give your kids is a strong marriage. The best things you can do for your kids' future is let them see mom loving dad and dad loving mom. So in order to prioritize your spouse, one of the things that we've learned to do is speak each other's love language.
So Gary Chapman wrote a book. It talks about five love languages that everyone gives and receives love differently. And so in five different ways, either acts of service or quality time, physical touch, gift giving, or words of affirmation. And so like many guys, Wayne's love language is physical touch and words
show
of affirmation.
Him. Show him.
So like this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So sometimes when I'm talking to him, I'm going to.
Do it.
Okay. So anyhow.
It's working.
Stop it. So sometimes when I'm talking to him, I'll make my point faster or better if I just reach over and say something to him like this. And I don't live like this.
I wish you would, but you know.
If you say one more thing, I'm going to. So anyhow, because that means more to him. Now, if he touches me when he's talking to me, I'm gonna go like, you know, come
get
on,
away.
Boy, you know, let's just.
Well, because your love language is quality time. Yeah.
I'm just like, they spend time with me. Let's go to the grocery store together.
I've got a list. Knock that list out, baby.
Let's just be together.
You know, I think especially this works out when we're at home, like when we're cleaning the house. You know, I'm like, well, let's conquer this. Divide and conquer. You do this. You do this. She's like, no, let's do it together.
Well, because I don't want to spend 2 hours on the first floor and him spend 2 hours upstairs. We won't see each other.
Right.
And I'm not. You're gonna. I'm not crazy. It's just that's my love language.
That's your love language. And I've learned to speak it.
Yes, you have.
Right.
And I've learned to speak yours.
Praise God.
Okay.
All right. Let's move to money. Everybody's favorite subject, right? Financial boundaries. We saw a sign in front of Hobby Lobby the other day. Look at that.
Yes. It says, your husband called. Buy whatever you want.
How many know that sign's from the devil?
Can I get an amen? You know? Women, can I get an amen?
No, that's from the devil. I just said that. All right. Now, some studies say that in up to 50% of divorces, the root cause or the primary source of conflict is money. And so without financial boundaries, this can really get the best of us. And so one of the first things that we did when we got married, it was we took all that we had way back when we were 21, and we put it in a joint account. All of our money is in a joint account. So there's not your money and my money or his or hers because, you know, you never had trouble
spending your money.
You're right. No. Our money.
Oh, not your money. It's our money.
Our money, right.
I've never had trouble.
Now, this is a conviction that we have.
But you say that.
What?
And I am the thrifty one, and you're the Santa Claus.
Sure.
So, just so we have it all straight. I don't want to leave here with a reputation that I'm a big spender. So.
This conversation is a little different than the 9 o'clock service. So.
Well, the other parts have gone differently, too.
A little more transparent. So. Okay.
We should only do one service when we do this.
Then we'll record it and just play it.
And we should just play it back for them.
Okay. Now, we combine our incomes into one account. And I think this is important. Again, this is a conviction that we have. Because the Bible says your treasure, your heart follows your treasure. So your heart's attached to your money. And if your money is separate, then in some way, perhaps your heart might be as well. And so, you know, I just think if you do it any other way, you might be asking for trouble. Again, we're not saying this is a commandment. This is a conviction that we have. And another area in finances is you got to decide who's going to pay the bills. That's you.
Yeah.
You're better at it than me.
I'm better at it than he is.
Now, that doesn't mean that I just put everything on you right. And you take care of the bills. We both got to talk about it, but she's much more detailed and much more meticulous. And then everybody needs a financial plan. You know, you gotta tell your money where it's going to go, or it's going to tell you where it went, right? That's called a budget. And so a spending plan, a funding plan, all of that stuff. And by the way, we're doing financial peace on Friday nights. If anybody needs help with that, it's something that you can be part of and learn in the area of finances. Now, one more thing that we do in the area of finances is we give God the first.
Yeah, in the first year of our marriage, we just decided early on we were going to be tithers. We were going to be faithful to the Lord in that area. And we've been blessed because of it. We believe we have a good, blessed marriage and family, and one of the main reason is starting out being tithers, and so just any kind of increase to our household. I mean, if it's the salary, or if it's a garage sale, if it's a birthday present, you know.
We still do. If we get a tax return, I'll tithe on that too. Now we tithe on the gross, so technically, I guess you could say we've already tithe on that. But to me, you just can't outgive God. I'd rather be above 10% than try to just squeak, oh no, it's a penny. No, I want to give to God because you can't outgive God. And the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3 is so important. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. So that also includes marriage. In marriage, put God first, and I think he'll make your marriage a success. And I think that applies to marriage. It becomes a boundary for us to protect us and to provide for us. And another boundary we decided on, we got this advice from an older couple before we got married, no impulse buys.
That's not a nice one. No impulse buys. We try to wait 24 hours.
Wait 24 hours before you make a major purchase.
And you know, this morning, I believe the Lord reminded me of a story, but he's not going to think it was the Lord. So most of the time, that don't impulse buy, that really is helpful because you don't get in trouble. And then you walk away going.
99% of the time.
Yes, but this one time when we were buying a couch for our son who was going to college,
yeah.
It was an amazing couch and it was an amazing price. And he made me wait. And
it wasn't
back.
The Lord's will.
No, it was it was gone. The couch was gone.
No, but so this boundary has helped us
99% of the time
make some
us.
Really smart decisions.
I would highly suggest it.
All right. Good. All right. Maybe we should get off money.
We should.
All right. Let's talk about friendship. Friendship boundaries. How many know marriage changes your friendships? Or at least it should. Before you're married, you can have relationships with anybody, right? You can have all kinds of friends because you're not committed to one person for life. But when you get married, your friendship boundaries change. A man and a woman cannot have the same type of relationships after marriage as they did before marriage because now you're in a covenant relationship with one person. And so what that means is, guys, after you get married, you don't have girl friends that are ladies. Ladies, after you get married, you don't have guy friends. You just give that up. You say, why would you say that? Now, listen, your spouse needs some friends. You need some friends. I need some friends. We need people to interact with and talk to, but it doesn't need to be another guy for her or another lady for me. And you say, why is that? Because we have seen so many cases where seemingly harmless friendships crossed lines into something much more harmful. Matter of fact, one of the when it comes to cases of infidelity, the number one pool of people that involves are people who are already friends. They're already familiar. There's already a comfort zone, but something crossed the line, and maybe they became too comfortable or too familiar. And of course, we believe, I believe that everything I need from a lady, Tracy's going to give that to me. And Tracy, everything that she needs from a guy, I need to give that to her. Now, that means I got to work on me and you got to work on you in order to be healthy in those areas. But one of the vows we take when we get married, anybody remember? Forsaking all others till death do us part. It's just a boundary that we found to be very helpful when it comes to friendships. All right. Now, we save this one for last. Conflict boundaries, right?
I was going to say something and then...
Say whatever you want. No, let's not.
No.
Okay. All right. Boundaries. That's exactly right. So how do you fight without killing each other? Here's the truth. You're going to fight. We're two people from two different backgrounds, two different situations, you know, and oh, by the way, men are different than women, right? And we're supposed to live together in perfect harmony, right? There's going to be some conflict in your life. Now, I used to joke years ago, you know, Tracy and I didn't fight. We just had intense moments of fellowship. And that's real funny preacher talk, but the reality is we fight. Yeah, we have some fights. Now, the key is when you have a conflict, do you fight fair, right? Or do you fight dirty? Because you can fight well or you can fight poorly. And so the key is having some boundaries around your conflict or some rules of engagement, as some people like to call them. And so the scripture has some things to say about that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, the scripture says, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." And I think some people misinterpret that scripture, which means you got to have everything resolved before you go to bed. Well, I'm saying, man, if you have to resolve everything before you go to bed, there would be days upon days upon days with no sleep, you know, because you're not going to resolve everything before you go to bed. I think what that scripture is saying is you may not resolve everything, just don't be angry, right? Deal with your heart. And I want you to notice what that scripture is saying. Put a boundary around your anger. Put a boundary around your conflict. It's okay to be angry. You're going to have conflict, but don't sin while you're doing it. Don't fight dirty. Good preaching. Thank you very much. All right. Appreciate that. You said your amen in right there. Okay, so we have some rules of engagement, how to fight fair there. And so it starts with never threatening to leave or to divorce.
I would just even say make it a goal of yours to never even utter the word divorce. Do not bring it up. Don't put it out there into the air to give life to it. Your children, whether you have children or not, they should never have to live with that kind of fear.
It creates an incredible amount of insecurity in kids.
Yes, and they should just never have to worry about whether mom and dad are staying together. Should never have to see your bags packed. Work out the conflict in the back room, but don't put that burden on them.
Right. And then never say always or never.
I didn't like that one because I think I inspired that one. Because early on in the very beginning of our marriage, I used to do that. I mean, I was just dramatic and I was trying to make a point. And you always this and you never. And he's like, and so then but he taught me.
Well, we talked about this.
To not speak in generalities,
right.
To speak specifically, you
know,
to that
when
issue.
When you did this, I felt this way.
Yes, so now that's what I say. I say this. I feel this.
Right, right. She touched me. Did you see that?
So, yeah.
That helps. Helps resolve conflict, yeah. All right. So just avoid using generalities and pouring gas on the fire, just making it bigger than it is. And then we have a boundary, never have conflict in front of your kids. Never have conflict in front of
your
kids.
You know that slogan about driving and texting, it can wait. You're trying to get people, don't text while you drive. It can wait. Well, that's how I think of that with conflict. It's not that our children have never heard us disagree. They'll know if we disagree with one another. But man, when you're going to hash it out, you don't do that in front of your kids. You wait. It does not have to be spoken in the car. You can wait till you get home or away from your kids so that they don't have to witness a conflict. So They can know there's disagreements, but they don't have to witness the battle. Another, not that there's a battle. But.
Right. Never raise your voice is another boundary that we have put into place. And the reason is because the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And when you raise your voice, you tend to just add fuel to the fire. And conflict's already hard enough, but when you add all the emotion to it, it can really, if you set that boundary, it will help you resolve conflict a lot faster. And then I know you love this one. Never get historical.
Historical. Well, because when I read it, I thought it said hysterical. Never get hysterical.
Like, that too. Don't get hysterical.
But never get historical.
Historical means don't always be bringing up the past. You know, if something's resolved, if something's dealt with, don't keep bringing it up, you know? Make the conflict about that conflict. Don't put everything else on top of it. And the reason that's fighting dirty is because nobody can change the past. It's impossible to change your past. So if you keep bringing that up, what you're doing is you're saying this conflict will not be resolved because of what happened in the past. There is no way to resolve conflict if you continue to get historical. Now, if there's a pattern of behavior that keeps repeating itself that you got to deal with and it's showing up now, deal with that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about things that have been dealt with, and why do you keep bringing them up now? So don't bring up the past. It's just impossible. And the last one here, never say okay when someone says, I'm sorry. Instead, you should say, I forgive you. Now, why is that so important?
Because that's what Jesus does for us. He forgives us. Jesus doesn't say, oh, it's okay, you know, when we...
So when you confess your sins to the Lord, put your trust in Jesus to save you, he doesn't say, oh, that's okay. No. He says, I forgive you. And that's powerful. You know, I think the three words every marriage should have heard and spoken very often, I love you. And when I counsel other married couples and we talk to them, we say, there are two other words you need to say a lot. I'm sorry, right? Matter of fact, I've even done a few wedding sermons, you know, where I've just reminded them, you're going to say this a lot, and you should. And when you do, the other person should not say, well, that's okay, because it's not okay that you hurt me. It's not okay that I said this. It's not okay you're saying, I'm sorry. I truly regret that. And then the other person says, I forgive you. And let that go. And that's powerful, a way to resolve conflict. Now, again, these are our convictions. And they're not commandments in the Bible. They think they're helpful. And we think they'll be an encouragement to you. And of course, there are a lot of other areas of marriage where you need to have boundaries. And so we encourage you. We've listed some resources at the bottom of your notes that you can follow up and learn more information. And of course, our church is a church that really believes strongly in investing in families and parents and marriages. We've got small groups for marriages. Classes and things like that. We want to be a place where families can grow strong, no matter what the family looks like. Blended family, whatever kind of family, single parent, single adult, we want to be an encouragement to everybody. And so that's why we're having this conversation today. And I really appreciate you joining us for this conversation on it. You did excellent. Yeah. You want to do another 25?
No. Oh, 25 years.
Yes.
Oh, he said, like, preach with me 25 more times, and I said no.
25 more sermons?
25, yes, I thought it meant 25 more sermons.
That's
years,
not what I was saying.
I will go the distance with you.
Praise God.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right. Amen. I want to pray for you here today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes here this morning? If you're here today and you're married, we want to pray for you. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And Lord, we just pray together that you would help us as husbands and wives. Help us to keep the commandments of God, to love each other, to honor each other, to be faithful to each other. Lord, we recognize that this culture that we have, that we live in, it's just hard. It's hard on us. It's hard on these marriage covenants. And so God, we pray for your help. We pray for your strength and for your grace. God, I pray for the guys in this room. I pray, Lord God, you to give us courage to protect our wives, to honor them, to speak well of them, to encourage them, Lord, to set boundaries around our homes to protect them. We pray for the ladies in our church, God, that you would give them everything they need to be godly wives and godly spouses. And Lord, we pray for all of us that you'd help us to reject the spirit of lawlessness that's in our culture right now, that rejects this type of thinking. Lord, we know the enemy wants to steal from us and destroy us and hurt us, but God, you came to give us life. So Lord, give us wisdom, give us courage to set boundaries in this world that we live in. I pray, God, for every married couple that their house will be filled with peace, their house will be filled with grace. And Lord, as we grow stronger together, as we grow closer to you, may we grow stronger together. So help us, oh God, to follow you with all of our hearts, and we'll trust you in our homes. I pray for unmarried people here today, God, young men, young women, single parents. I pray for people who have been divorced. Lord, some are widows. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would give them grace and strength. Lord, I pray that you give them an opportunity to share what they've heard today with somebody else. Lord, to be an encouragement to somebody else, to give them faith and hope for the future. And of course, we understand, Lord, that there are lots of us here today that have things in our past that we're not proud of, things in our past that are hurtful, things that have wounded us. And so, Lord, we just, once again, we come to the cross and we lay our hearts down. We lay our lives down. We understand how much you love us, and we thank you for the grace of the cross. We thank you for the mercy of the cross. We thank you for the kindness of the cross. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to get right with God today. Can I tell you the very best thing you can do for your family, the very best thing that you can do for your marriage if you're married, the very best thing, the most important thing that you can do is turn your life over to Jesus, to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. See, the gospel of Jesus is very simple. It's very simple. God so loved the world, he sent his only son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need Jesus because we've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of his glory. We've all broken God's laws. God paid the penalty for that sin through his son, Jesus. We were lost, but we can be found through faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And being saved and following Jesus is simple as just making a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus from this day forward. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to do what he says. That's what being Lord is all about. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to make things right with God today. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. The Holy Spirit is drawing me to him. And today I'm ready to make this decision. Jesus Christ will be number one in my life. He'll be Lord. And I know that he's going to help me as I follow him today. If that's you, would you raise your hand real high right now? I want to pray for you. Thank you, sir. Just raise your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. If you raise your hand, thank you. We're up there in the stadium. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for raising your hand. I know those of you that raised your hand just now mean business with God. So I'm going to lead you in a very simple prayer. It's the beginning of your relationship with God, really. It's a prayer of confession of who you are and who Jesus Christ is. So if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer after me. And everybody that would like to encourage them in prayer, I want you to pray it out loud as well. But if you raised your hand, I want you to pray it a little bit louder than the person next to you. Would you pray this way and just say, Dear God, thank you for bringing me to church today. I believe your word is true. That Jesus Christ is God, he is Lord, and I need him. Today I put my trust in Jesus Christ, his life and death and resurrection to save me from my sin. I have sinned. I have broken your laws. I'm guilty, and I'm sorry. Give me a new heart, Jesus, beginning today. I will follow you every day for the rest of my life. Holy Spirit, give me power to serve you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for these who have just prayed today to receive Christ? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, for those of you that just prayed right now, you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to take the next step. Your next step then is as you leave today in the Next Steps tent out in the hub, we want to put some resources in your hand to help you follow Jesus. We'll put a one-year Bible in your hand and just pick today, the day, day one, and just start reading God's Word. And then there's a little book called Begin that talks about just the different things we encourage you to do to follow Jesus. The great thing about following Jesus is you're not doing it alone. You're now part of a family. And so on behalf of the body of Christ all around the world and the family of God right here at Grace, welcome to the family of God. We congratulate you here today. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Why don't you stand here today? I want to encourage you. Tonight is small groups. And so encourage you to be part of your small group there as we grow closer to God and closer to one another. And some of you are saying, boy, I wish so-and-so would have heard this. I wish so-and-so would have heard this. Hey, bring them to church next Sunday. This is a great time to bring some guests and people to church. Amen? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Go with God. We love you.